You're listening to a podcast from the Brookings Institution.
Welcome to the Brookings discussion on the President's budget, which came out yesterday, and more generally the federal budget situation, which is more or less desperate, that's one word. And here to discuss with me are two of my Brookings colleagues, Bill Frenzel, who was formerly a member of Congress, a Republican member of Congress. He was on the Ways and Means Committee and also on the Budget Committee, so Bill is a great expert, both from study and from his direct experience on the budget.
Well, hello, Ron. I'm glad to be with you today and with some very consistent, thoughtful budget analysts.
And Bell Sawhill, my colleague who runs the Center on Children and Families here at Brookings with me and is a senior fellow here at Brookings.
Good morning, Ron. I'm looking forward to this chat.
And Bell was in the Clinton administration. That would make her a Democrat, I believe. And she was in the Office of Management and Budget, so she has a lot of experience with the budget. And I don't know much, but I'm here to moderate, so I'll just give opinions. Let's start with this, my first opinion. The President actually showed some courage for the first time, I think, in any of his budgets. And I say that because he restored a lot of military spending, because, depending on how you look at it, his revenue increases are moderate or modest. Anything above a dollar for Republicans is probably too much, but, and most of all, because he has a proposal to actually reduce spending on Social Security, which is really amazing, and he's already gotten a lot of criticism, and some of it nasty, from the left. So do you agree?
If I could start, I will totally agree with what you just said. I think it was a very courageous budget. It is making everybody angry. All of his allies on the left are up in arms about the proposal to slow the growth of Social Security by adopting a new inflation formula. He also, by the way, hits Medicare by beginning to means test premiums for wealthier beneficiaries. And that kicks in slowly over time, but in the second decade, if it were to go into effect, it saves $1 trillion in Medicare alone. So I think there's just a lot of courage here. Of course, on the right, he's taking heat because he does have revenues in the package, and they don't like revenues at all, any kind, any amount.
So, Bill, you're a Republican. You are on the Ways and Means Committee. What do you think Republicans are going to say about this?
As a Republican, I think the budget is inadequate because it doesn't make enough of the cuts to take us where I want us to go in the decade. But as both of you have suggested, I feel very strongly that this is a great act of leadership on his part, and really sort of the first indication that he wants to grapple with the deficit in a serious way. Almost more importantly, it now puts the ball in the Republicans' court. He's shown something, and they're going to have to put something on the table. They may, and they may not. But it's a great start for him, and I think just a superior effort compared to the first term.
Let's talk about Republicans and their response. So the President has put some real proposals on the table to cut, as Bell pointed out, Medicare spending. And to actually change Social Security as well to the programs that the Democrats have protected the most ferociously over the years. How are Republicans going to respond? Do you think there's a chance that, given the recent past and the objection to taxes and the Speaker Boehner's repeated statement that we already increased revenues, the President got his revenue increases, no more. Is there room for give here on the part of Republicans?
My guess is that there is some room. It may be that the Republicans will be adamant, but on the other hand, some of the Democrats are adamant too, the people who are cursing out the President for making cuts in entitlements. And that's another thing his budget did, was reveal that the extremists on both sides are a real detriment to trying to get some kind of a good bargain here. But I think it's a great start. The Republicans ought to respond. I think there's more prospects in the Senate for a statesmanlike response. Mm-hmm. But if that happens, I think it's possible the House could follow. Mm-hmm. I believe that there is some maturation among the more junior members of the Republican caucus as they continue their service and they begin to understand that mm-hmm. they don't own the world, mm-hmm. there is another House, mm-hmm. and another president.
What do you think of that, Bill?
Well, I think that, first of all, I agree with Bill. I think the problem is in the House and that there is a good chance in the Senate that something will be done. But I would add that I think it's important that Republicans see this as an opportunity to finally slow the growth of spending in a serious way. If that's what they're concerned about, as opposed to just winning political points and winning elections, they will accept this offer because what's in the president's budget is virtually the same as what Boehner offered back in January. And so he's come all the way to where Boehner is. If Boehner can bring his troops along in the House, we could have a deal. I might just say a word about the numbers here because there will be a debate about is this enough or too much or whatever. The budget cuts $1.8 trillion. That's on top of $2.5 trillion that we already saved as part of the fiscal cliff and the so-called Budget Control Act that occurred in 2011. So if you add them together and get the interest savings, it's about $4.3 trillion or so. And that's as big as Simpson Bowles or anything else.
Well, there's a little double counting.
Let's give some context to this. Yeah. No Congress ever has cut anything like that over, this would be about a 2.5 year period. I mean, really, it's not what any of us want, but it is remarkable that we've been able to get this far.
But the world famous Bowles-Simpson duo has suggested that this is not, it's a great start,
right.
But it is not adequate.
Right. I agree with that, but if the choice is between zero or, you know,
absolutely.
Peanuts, I mean, we're not talking about peanuts here.
But
this
budget
important.
Is simply the opening gambit. We aren't even in discussion yet.
We
aren't in negotiation yet. It's the beginning of getting
together. But before we get
together.
To that, I want to ask you about that. But before we get to that, let me just make a scenario here and tell me if you think this is realistic. All right, so the Senate... Normally the House would go first, but let's say the Senate acts and they pass it with, let's say, 75 votes, which means a lot of Republican votes, close to half the Republicans, maybe even more, would vote for the package. And now it goes over to the House. So in addition to the president's, there's going to be a lot of credit to the president. There are going to be lots of editorials. David Brooks, I bet you Nichols is going to have a nice editorial about the president, how reasonable he is and so forth. So he's going to get very good press. And then a majority or close to it of Senate Republicans vote yes. Now it comes over to the House. Under that scenario, all Boehner has to do is produce 35 or so votes for it. I'm going to come back to that in a minute because maybe they'll lose some Democrats. But do you think that that's plausible? Are there 30, 35, 40 votes in the House?
Oh, I'm sure of that. But the scenario may not work out. Mm-hmm. When you're building a house of cards like this, one sneeze, and they all fall down.
Right.
And could work in either body. But there is a possibility, and I also don't believe that the president's budget is going to be the vehicle. It'll be a general framework, but there'll be many changes in it before it would get out even of a friendly Senate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we might mention in that context that there are two budgets that have been produced, budget resolutions in the Congress, one by Republicans and one by Democrats, and they're very far apart.
Right.
And under the normal process, there would be a conference committee to resolve the differences. But I think many of us are rather pessimistic that we can get to that middle
ground. Neither the House
nor
the Senate have appointed conferees, so
right,
that's kind of
right.
a clue.
I think that your question is exactly right, that the president, if he could move that conference committee to adopt their own version, as Bill says, of some more middle of the road proposal, and it went to the House, that could be the road to actually enacting something.
It could be forcing them.
But I think you're right that it, in any little sneeze, could cause it to just blow up. And we've seen that before. We've seen Boehner and the president get very close.
Mm-hmm.
They're not that far apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then it blows up in the end.
But they do know that hanging over them, of course, is still the sequester. And the lurching from debt ceiling to sequester coming into effect to cliffs and snags of all kinds.
Right.
And so there is a fair amount of incentive to make an arrangement.
Let's say just a few words about the sequester, because the country it got the country's attention, apparently. There are lots of reports about it, and there are places that are now reporting, especially defense contractors, that they've actually had to lay people off, mainly because of uncertainty, and they're planning for what might really happen to them. The president's budget, at least on the defense side, would almost completely overcome the defense cuts from sequester, and would be expected to be very popular, I think. So if we didn't do something along the lines of making up for the sequester, that's a huge problem for whoever stands in the way, right?
Sure it is. But Congress has never had much trouble with military appropriations.
Yeah.
It's everything else that is usually the problem.
But I
right,
think
so you're saying, after years of experience, relax on the military side.
Yeah,
the
that's
sequester
be
cuts
covered.
Are not going to survive.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I think your point that this is beginning to occur now, the sequester, and it really hasn't affected very many people yet. But it's going to affect more and more people over time. It's going to become visible. There are going to be stories in the press. There's going to be public outcry about the fact of they're standing in long lines at airports, or their small airport in their local area is closed down, or they can't go to the cancer clinic. Or whatever, that food safety is beginning to be affected, whatever it is, there will be some outcry over time. So there is that public pressure. And I think the president right now is doing a combination of what I would call an inside game and an outside game. The inside game with the Congress is the one we've all been talking about. The outside game is to convince the public that he has a more reasonable position on these issues, that he's the one who has the balanced package, than either his friends on the left or his opposition on the right.
And on that very point, the polls have consistently shown for quite some time now that the public, when asked about the two parties, they think Republicans have been intransigent and less willing to cooperate and to compromise than the Democrats. And if this were to happen again, especially with the president portrayed by the national media and I think by a lot of state and local newspapers, that it's a pretty reasonable thing on his part. And the left is making him look very good because they're criticizing him. When you get your own guys to criticize you, you're doing something good.
So the Republicans have some pressure on him.
Yeah,
No question about that.
And you think this will affect their
And they're looking at an election a year and a half from now in which they have, they think, a reasonable chance to take over the Senate.
Right.
If they look recalcitrant, adamant, whatever, that chance goes out the window, in my judgment.
Except in the House, I think the
calculations
are different, because the House is much more local.
I believe they will continue to control the House. That's true.
No, but I mean, in the election, you can count on senators feeling pressure from national issues.
Yes.
In the House, not necessarily.
No.
They're
it's
running
local.
Locally. They got their own, and the way the Congress is now, both the blue and the red are pretty fixed.
One of the things we haven't talked about is the tax side of this business, where the president suggests a lot of tax reform and some tax increases.
Right.
And that's going to be a real bone of contention between Republicans and Democrats. I think both of them would love tax reform, but they want to, whatever tax preferences they eliminate, they would use in different ways. Democrats would like to spend it on good things that they think the Republic needs, and Republicans would like to reduce tax rates because they believe that will stimulate the growth of the economy. And that's going to be head-to-head. It's a huge part of any kind of budget final negotiations. And if they can't come to a tax reform conclusion, they may not be able to put this whole deal together.
The other thing we haven't talked about is the debt ceiling. We've got a new potential crisis facing us in May, or at least this summer. And I think that the president has said very clearly that he will not negotiate on the debt ceiling.
He said that last time, though.
And I think that you could make an argument, as some of the congressional observers that we were talking to earlier today said, that, and I'm wondering what you think about this bill, that the debt ceiling is so radioactive now that the Republicans won't play games with it. What do you think?
My judgment is that the Republicans took a kick in the head in 2011 on the debt ceiling, looked like the bad guys. It's becoming a much more modest negotiating asset for the Republicans than they originally thought 2 years ago. And I think as they still looking at that next election, they're going to be very careful about their image as obstructionists over the debt ceiling especially.
We'd be remiss if we didn't say one word about some of the very positive things in the president's budget that relate to his base and his constituency. Most prominently, I would mention, and I know you care about this also, Ron, the initiative to make pre-K universal, to pay for it with a tax on cigarettes, which hopefully will reduce youth smoking. I think that's a very important proposal. I'm glad it's in there, whatever happens to it.
Me too. So, anybody who's still awake out there, you could tell that this reasonable group could solve the deficit in about 10 minutes if we went in a room and sat down, so it surely follows that the Congress will reach agreement and will solve our deficit crisis.
Of course, as long as we've predicted it.
Yeah.
Amen.